Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Israel given to their enemies as we pick up in Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 13. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
In those days, quite often, the seller had to sell because of financial problems. And so there was always that, this is the family, and it's the family inheritance. And they would hate to sell that, because when you inherited from your parents the land, it was sort of a holy trust. Your whole goal of life was to pass on to your children that which you received as the inheritance from your family. And so you would devote your whole life to the maintaining of that inheritance so that you could pass it on. But sometimes a person would get strapped. They'd have to sell it. But in the deed, there was always the revisionary clause. You could always buy it back in a specified period of time by adhering to the covenant that was drawn up at the time that it was sold. Or if you could not redeem it, then a close relative could redeem it so it remain in the family. So there was usually sorrow involved in the selling of property. It was a holy trust. It's a sacred thing. This is the family's, and now I'm selling it. And the buyer, of course, if you could ever buy property, it was a very happy time. You would rejoice. And so he's saying, hey, look, the time is, it's at an end. You that are going around buying, there's no, don't need to rejoice in it, because you're not going to really have it long. And you that are selling, don't really mourn, because you're not going to buy it back again. You won't be able to use your option to repurchase, because you're all going to be taken out of the land. So the seller shall not return to that which is sold. You're not going to come back to it. Although they are still alive, but you'll be a captive carried away to Babylon. For the vision is touching the whole multitude thereof, which shall not return, neither shall any strengthen himself in the iniquity of his life. They have blown the trumpet, even to make all ready, but none goeth to battle, for my wrath is upon the multitude thereof. Now, the blowing of the trumpet really was more than just the summoning of the people to battle, but with Israel, it was more or less an acknowledgement that the Lord comes forth to battle with us. But God said, I'm not coming forth with you anymore. Blow the trumpet, it's not going to do any good. I'm not going to fight for you any longer. You're going to be turned over into the hands of your enemies. For the sword is without, the pestilence and the famine is within, and he that is in the field will die with the sword, and he that is in the city, the famine and the pestilence will devour him. But they that escape of them shall escape and be on the mountains like doves of the valley, all of them mourning every one for his iniquity. So those that escape from the sword and pestilence, scattered throughout the mountains, weeping, mourning, wailing for that which has happened. All hands shall be feeble. All knees will be as weak as water. They shall also gird themselves with sackcloth, and horror shall cover them, and shame shall be upon all their faces, and baldness upon their heads. That is, in mourning, the cutting of their hair and all. They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is a stumbling block of their iniquity. And as for the beauty of his ornament, he is set in majesty, but they made the images of their abominations and of their detestable things therein. Therefore have I set it far from them. And I will give it into the hands of the strangers for a prey, and to the wicked of the earth for a spoil, and they'll pollute it. And talking about, of course, the sanctuary, the place of majesty and ornament of beauty, it's going to be destroyed, polluted. My face will I turn also from them. They shall pollute my holy place, actually, the secret place, the holy of holies, will be profaned and polluted. For the robbers shall enter into it and defile it. Make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence. Wherefore I will bring the worst of the heathen, and they shall possess their houses. I also will make the pomp of the strong to cease, and their holy places shall be defiled. Destruction comes, and they will seek peace, and there will be none. Mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumor shall be upon rumor. Then shall they seek a vision of the prophet, but the law shall perish from the priest, and the counsel from the ancients. The king shall mourn, and the prince shall be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the people of the land shall be troubled. I will do unto them according to their ways, and according to what they deserve will I judge them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. This terrible judgment that God is going to bring as the temple of God is destroyed and profaned, and the people are driven out and killed with a sword, pestilence, and famine. Now we move into a new section of the book that is really the conclusion of his first prophecy. It came to pass now in the sixth year, and in the sixth month, and in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house, and the elders of Judah were sitting before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell upon me. So Ezekiel was there sitting in his house. Some of the ancient men of Israel, the older men, were gathered there with him, and God's Spirit came upon him. Then I beheld, and lo, there was a likeness as of the appearance of fire, and that is the appearance of fire. The Greek Septuagint here translates this as the appearance of man. The word fire in Hebrew is ish, E-S-H, and the word man is ish, I-S-H. And so the Greek translators felt that this was the ish, so the appearance of a man. And from the context, it would seem that perhaps that is correct. And from the appearance of his loins even downward, it was fiery. And from his loins even upward, it was as the appearance of the brightness and as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of a hand. And he took me by a lock of my head. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and heaven and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looks towards the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provokes to jealousy. And behold, the glory of God, the God of Israel, was there according to the vision that I had seen in the plain. That was the vision that he described of the cherubims there in chapter 1. Now, here's Ezekiel sitting with the elders, and suddenly he sees this form of a fire, or of a man, and from the loins down upward it looked like fire, and from downward this bright color of amber. And a hand came forth, took him by his hair, lifted him up between heaven and earth, and then transported him to Jerusalem, to the inner court, the north gate of the inner court, where he saw there the horrible abominations for which God's judgment had come upon the people. Then he said unto me, Son of man, lift up now your eyes toward the north. So I looked towards my eyes toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, there was this image of jealousy at the entry. And he said furthermore unto me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel is committing here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? But turn yet again, and you'll see even greater abominations. You see the things they are doing here right within the house, within the sanctuary. Things that provoke me to jealousy, because of the false gods that were worshipped right there within the precincts of the temple. But he said, hang on, you haven't seen the worst yet. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, there was a hole in the wall. Then he said unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, I found a door. So I went in, and I saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, an abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the walls around about. So he came into this room and he looked in all of these filthy drawings on the walls. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan. Now Shaphan was the scribe that when Hilkiah the priest had found the law, when Josiah had initiated these spiritual reforms, you remember, and they found the book of the law and they brought it to Josiah. And Shaphan read to him out of the law, and he realized how far they had turned against God, and he repented even more and ordered this mass repentance of the people. Shaphan was the faithful scribe, but his son, the rat, he's an old man now. He's standing with the ancients, Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense was going up. Then he said unto me, Son of man, have you seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, the Lord does not see us, the Lord has forsaken the earth. Now, here is the wild part about this. This hole in the wall that Ezekiel dug in, coming into a room and looking around on the walls of the room, seeing all the pornography and all, God is saying, Ezekiel, I've allowed you to come into the minds of these people. What you have been seeing is the things that are in their imaginations, the fantasies, and those things that are in their minds, the imageries that are in their minds. These are their thoughts. These are what they're thinking. All of this filthy stuff that you've seen are the things that are going on in the minds of the ancient. These men who are supposed to be the spiritual leaders of Israel. And yet their minds are polluted. Now, that is sort of a heavy issue in realizing that God can probe right into our minds and he sees those images, those imaginations of our own minds. That to me is rather sobering, to think that nothing is hid from God. Even my thoughts, God knows. The imaginations that I have, God sees. That is why the scripture says that we are to bring every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. Now, they were saying, the Lord doesn't see us. And the Lord has forsaken the earth. They were wrong on both counts. God did see, and God has not forsaken. But he said unto me, turn again, and you're going to see things that are even worse. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was towards the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Now, Tammuz was a Babylonian god. He was the god of resurrection. He was worshipped in the springtime as the trees would come into blossom. They would mourn for Tammuz in the fall as the leaves were dying on the trees and the trees were going bare and all. They would weep for Tammuz. But then in the springtime, when the trees would begin to bud and blossom and all again, they would have great parties and they would decorate eggs and celebrate the resurrection of Tammuz. Because now we have new life. The new life of spring is around us. And the egg is a symbol of perpetuated life. because it's through the egg that the little birds or chicks or whatever are hatched. And so it's a symbol of the perpetuating of life. And so they would take the eggs and color them, draw on them and all, and would have these parties with these colored eggs, celebrating the resurrection of Tammuz. Any similarity is far from coincidental. The church, unfortunately, adopted the pagan practice of the worship of Tammuz and the resurrection of Tammuz and incorporated it into the church, calling it Easter and having an Easter Sunday, taking the name of the Greek goddess Ashtart, who was supposed to be the consort of Adonis, who is the Greek equivalent to Tammuz. And we have incorporated into the church, and there are churches that have Easter egg hunts and give baskets of colored eggs to the children and all at Easter time, Ashtart. In the early church, we don't read of them celebrating the resurrection of Christ on any particular day. But because the pagans were all celebrating in this pagan worship of Tammuz, and they had this day which they acclaimed the resurrection and all in the spring time, the church didn't want their people to feel left out. And so they said, this is the day that Jesus rose, and we'll color the eggs and do the same bit, but we're celebrating now the resurrection of Jesus. I am not certain what the Lord thinks about that. I wonder. The Lord said to Ezekiel, come and I'll show you something that's really disturbing. See those women? They're weeping for Tammuz. Not weeping for the desolation that was coming. Not weeping because the sin that was rampant in the land. Not weeping because they had come into such a moral decay, but weeping for Tammuz, the Babylonian god of resurrection. Then he said unto me, have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again. You're going to see even greater abominations than these. And he brought me to the inner court of the Lord's house. And behold, at the door of the temple, between the porch and the altar were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. And so here they were, backs towards the temple, signifying turning their backs upon God and worshiping now the sun god, worshiping towards the east. I go over to Jerusalem, and as we go up to the Temple Mount, and as I see there that large Dome of the Rock mosque that occupies the center of the Temple of the Mount, and you hear this crazy wailing coming over the loudspeakers, this museum, and you see all of these people get out their little rugs and kneel and bow and face the east in prayer there on the Temple Mount today. It always brings to my mind that picture that Ezekiel got when he was taken there by the Lord in this vision and saw these men turning from God and worshiping towards the east. Then he said unto me, have you seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they have committed here? For they have filled the land with violence. They have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch in their nose. Now, this was a symbol that was and a sign that was used in some of these pagan rites that are so horribly, unspeakably vile that we could not even in a mixed congregation describe to you the rites by which they worshiped their gods. But God declared, "Therefore will I also deal in fury. My eye will not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them." He cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, "Cause them that have the charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand." So he heard him now crying. He's not ordering Ezekiel is hearing God cry to these others. "Cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hands." He is calling now these angels of God who are to bring the judgment against the people.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Ezekiel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Ezekiel 7 through 9 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and bless you and watch over you during the week. May your love and commitment to God grow day by day. And may we each one consider what we are giving to God and how we give it, that we might render unto God that which is pleasing and acceptable in His sight, of our time, of our service, of our abilities, of our substance. God bless you, in Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
The Word for Today is pleased to present a timely book entitled Philippians, a Bible study for women by Kay Smith, wife of Pastor Chuck. In times of hardship and doubt, are you filled with joy? If this less than perfect world has robbed you of joy and filled you instead with fear and worry, you must learn the secrets found in the book of Philippians. Join Kay as she discovers the Apostle Paul's top secrets to a life filled with joy, available to every Christian woman today.
Sometimes in the deepest trials, God will so minister to us, or the Holy Spirit will so minister to us, that even in the deepest trials, we can have joy. And that's what we're trying to impress on the people's heart. We have joy just because we have Jesus.
For more information on how to order your copy, visit us online at thewordfortoday.org or call toll-free at 1-800-272-WORD. That's 1-800-272-9673.
And godliness with contentment is great gain.